No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This holiday season, give the gift that everyone actually wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. From USDA-certified very tender filet mignons and perfectly aged ribeyes, to juicy burgers and gourmet sides and desserts that make every meal unforgettable, Omaha Steaks brings steakhouse quality flavor straight to your doorstep. Whether you're gifting family across the country or filling your own freezer, every box arrives perfectly packaged and guaranteed to impress. Because nothing says I love you most like a gift of Omaha Steaks. Skip the malls and the guessing. Go to omahasteaks.com right now. That's omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, this deal won't last. Omaha Steaks, delivering joy since 1917. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons. On another day in which it feels like we've reached a turning point for the Colorado Rockies. A scoreless streak finally snapped after breaking a franchise record. Another IL stint for Chris Bryant. And after just a week ago, when we could have said April 6th, perhaps this is some kind of turnaround date that we'll go back and look at and say, Chase Dolander making his major league debut, Zach Veen getting his promotion to the majors finally, that maybe April 6th will be the turnaround date, and maybe it still will. But it does feel as if the Rockies have taken yet another step back, and we have to contemplate what's next for this team. After getting shut out in three consecutive games against the San Diego Padres, first time the Rockies had ever had that happen. And if you go back and look at some of their other really bad scoreless streaks and shutout streaks, they never happened in the same city. They went to a different location, had to travel overnight, facing a different pitcher, just a totally different look. No, it was the same look for three consecutive games, but that streak finally was snapped on Monday night after 32 and two-thirds innings, and perhaps it's fitting, and in the worst possible way it's fitting, but perhaps it's fitting that the run that they score to break that streak was courtesy of a pair of 34-year-olds, not quite the youth movement the Rockies have been selling fans for these last few years. 34-year-old Nick Martini singled, and then 34-year-old Kyle Farmer, who's been outstanding, doubled him home. So you've got 18 of 26 players on the active roster that have less than 4 full years of major league service, and yet the two aged 34-year-olds are the ones that end up coming through. So the defense was fine on Monday night. Adel Amador made an error, felt the pressure of Otani running towards him. Actually, I should amend that. That was not ruled an error. He made an error in later on in the game. It's funny because if you watch the clip, Dodgers announcers immediately said it was an error. Immediately. But that was ruled a hit by the scorekeeper there at Dodger Stadium. And, you know, this is a series that, you know, especially with the way the Rockies have been playing, and how poorly they've played on the road. They ended up eking out 3 runs on Monday night. Only the second time they've scored 3 runs on the road. Granted, we're talking 10 games, so it's not nothing. But the Dodgers, in a way, could have been ripe for the picking. And this game on Monday night was a 5-3 win by Los Angeles. So it was probably a lot closer than I think a lot of Dodgers fans would have thought it would be going into the night. but the Dodgers were as ripe for the picking as much as possible for the Rockies to pick, because Dodgers have lost three consecutive series in a row coming into this Rockies series, and their first time since doing that last April when they lost two of three to the Padres, Nationals, and the Mets over a nine-game homestand in L.A., believe it or not. So, you know, can the Rockies win a game in this series? Of course. It's baseball. That's just kind of how it goes. And you saw, again, by the 5-3 score on Monday night, you can say, wow, okay, you know, things are a little bit different. You never know. But odds are probably against that. Probably going into Friday with the new City Connects coming up against the Nationals, they might have themselves a six-game losing streak to snap. They do drop to 3-13 on the season, the worst start in 16 games to open a season in franchise history. What I found to be a little bit interesting in that is three other times they had started 4-12. So even a win on Monday night would have tied them with the worst start in franchise history. But all 4-12 starts or worse come during the Bud Black era. 2019, 2021, and 2024, they started 4-12. Should also note that Antonio Senzatella was able to at least pitch into the fifth inning. I thought, you know, certainly based on his last outing that, you know, it could have been pretty rough for him, and it looked like it was going that way, but he does end up giving up nine hits, four runs, two homers, and a walk in 4 1/3 innings pitched. He's now 1-5 with a 6.20 ERA at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers eat him up. Dodger Stadium eats him up. He threw 91 pitches, only 50 for strikes. I don't think that's a good ratio. For a guy that doesn't walk a lot of hitters, it seems to me he's throwing those strikes at a time in which he needs to put the ball in the zone, and the opposing hitters are very much aware of that. So you'd almost take a couple more walks because perhaps you're setting up the opposing hitter to chase a pitch outside, or you're trying to do more things rather than, you know, backing yourself into throwing a strike when you need to, or throwing a fastball in a fastball count, and you get abused for that. That's something that Chase Dolander, I believe all four of the home runs that he's given up have been in fastball counts that the opposing hitters, the veteran big league hitters, are aware of. Kyle Farmer hit his seventh double of the season. It came during the sixth inning, and then his eighth double of the season in the eighth. He's now tied for first in the majors with doubles, and he's eighth after Monday night's outing, eighth in batting average, .362, finished the night 2-for-4 with an RBI, been a solid pickup. He's going to be challenging Ezekiel Tovar for that doubles title this year. We'll see. Hunter Goodman was probably one of the bigger stories of the game, sent his third homer of the season to center and finished the night 1-for-4 with a run and two RBI. I believe that was a 402-foot blast. The bullpen, you know, looked a little bit better. Peralta gave up an unearned run, but Kinley in 1 2/3 innings pitch was scoreless. Victor Vodnik got himself back on track a little with a scoreless outing. And I'll get back to Hunter Goodman here in just a second, because as I was alluding to earlier with Chris Bryant going back on the IL, an interesting move made by the Rockies. On the Dodgers side of things, Mookie Betts had a two-run blast. He went 2-for-4, two RBI, a walk. He is hitting .478. He's 11-for-23 with three homers against Antonio Senzatella. Shohei Ohtani also homered in this game, 408-foot blast in the third inning. He ended up going 3-for-5. Freddie Freeman ended up going 2-for-5 with a double. And Dustin May, the starter, I mean, he had no-hit kind of stuff early on in this game, and with how poor the Rockies offense have been. And I would still say over the next two games, the odds for the Rockies getting no hit probably have to be as high as they've been in some time. And it really feels like the Rockies have been on this precipice of getting no hit, which I don't want to say is a matter of luck, but it certainly can be the right pitcher on the wrong day if you're the team getting no hit and the bats just being cold, whatever it may be. But things are just not lining up right now for the Rockies and putting the ball in play and hitting well. So that's going to make any time that they go out a potential, really, especially on the road, more so than at home, a potential to get no hit. But Dustin May looked solid. Six innings, ended up picking up his first win in about 2 years, May 6th, 2023. His 14 swings and misses on the night were the second most of his career. So Dustin May, good to see him back on the field and healthy after all the different health issues that he's had. And then Will Smith to round out the top four in the order. He ended up going 2 for 3 with 2 RBI. He's hitting .727 with runners in scoring position. That is unbelievable. I'm not sure if you saw this story, and I'm not even sure where I saw this story, where Bud Black, because he lives in San Diego County, he was able to sleep in his own bed after or during the Padres series, and he was going to take the train up to L.A. from, you know, where he's from. Boom, easy. He got on the platform, you know, for that, I think it was a 10:40 train ride going north to get into L.A., and a couple minutes before, there was an announcement of an earthquake in the area, and all train lines just ceased. So he had to take an Uber for $200 to get to the ballpark on Monday night. Kind of a scary story a little bit, but funny ultimately in the end. Hopefully everybody is okay from this earthquake. I didn't see it anywhere else, so I imagine it was on the smaller side. Let's get down to it. Chris Bryant back on the IL again, 10-day injured list for now, retroactive to April 13th. For his back issues, more specifically, lumbar degenerative disc disease. You had Braxton Fulford have his contract selected from AAA Albuquerque. He's a catcher. He's going to wear number 37. And because the 40-man roster was full, you had to transfer Jeff Criswell from the 15-day IL to the 60-day IL. That's just a formality. He had Tommy John surgery, so they could have done that immediately, but that's just something you can do later on down the line. So Braxton Fulford, an interesting call-up. He was a player that I thought might get this opportunity, especially with how poor of play Jacob Stallings has had lately. I know he was really beat up by the amount of play last year at altitude for the first time. And, you know, you'd seen it with the Golden Sombrero striking out 4 times in a game, I think maybe 6 consecutive at-bats, and just letting a couple pass balls get by him. And you know, a little bit questionable. They need somebody stable and sturdy behind the plate. And in lieu of going out and getting, you know, a quadruple A catcher, you know, like one of those older veteran guys, you saw him over the weekend. I mean, Elias Diaz, I don't know if you put him in that group, maybe. Martin Maldonado, sure. Right? He was a non-roster invite for the Padres. So those guys are around the league, but Rockies have long loved Braxton Fulford and the work that he's been able to do behind the plate, and he's been great at the plate offensively because he was slashing .542, .607, .1125 with 8 runs, 2 doubles, 4 homers, and 9 RBI. The dude was really coming into his own. A player that, you know, was eligible to be selected in the Rule 5 draft, but again, players of his caliber, of, you know, the catchers, that sort of, you know, third string catcher. Even young guys like him, they're a dime a dozen, unfortunately. And unless you have a really high upside, it's just not worth rostering a player like that for the entirety of the season. So I think the Rockies were calculated in that and not adding him to the 40-man roster, despite knowing that he very well could be number 3, number 4 on their depth chart. Drew Romo, this would be his spot were it not for that broken finger he sustained on the final day of spring training on a minor league game. But back to Chris Bryant, lumbar degenerative disc disease. You know, what does this mean for his career? This was something that I believe he sat down with Patrick Saunders last year to discuss this issue, this thing that is just simply not going to get better, this compression in his lower back. And, you know, he's going to continue to suffer through it, you know, I imagine for the entirety of his life. And, you know, he can certainly maintain that lower back issue that he's having once he's retired, once he's not swinging a bat violently, which it's a violent motion to swing a bat. And, you know, even just going out, taking ground balls, which, you know, he does on occasion over at first base, certainly not going to be playing any right field. He really wasn't going to be playing right field at all. That's one of the things that I think right now Rockies fans should rightfully so be very frustrated with is the fact that the Rockies have been saying a lot of things that really haven't been true. They've been saying a lot of things in a hopeful way, as if they are facts. And we're really starting to see like, no, these aren't facts. You know, going back to 2021, we like our young guys. They're on their way to make an impact on this roster. And that hasn't happened. That still has yet to happen, really. And Chris Bryant, first base, right field, but maybe mostly DH. That's not true. He's only DH. There's really never going to be a time for him to be out there defensively, partially because first base is not a spot where you're going to give Tolley a day. He's just playing every single day going out there, which is a good thing. But in previous years, absolutely, when you had Montero there or CJ Crone needed a day or Tolley was still establishing himself over the last two seasons, sure, there's room for Chris Bryant to get a start once in a while over at first base. There just isn't that right now. So disingenuous is probably a better word than dishonest, but you know, that's kind of been the Rockies' MO as they try to figure some things out. And that's something that I plan on talking with Noah Spyrek with the Blake Street Banner tomorrow over on the Blake Street Banner YouTube channel. Is really what's the direction of this team? Where are they going now? Because you know the direction is pretty much, I think, where a lot of us thought it was going to be this season, with the potential for 100 losses, and it's obviously trending that way once again. And there's really no sign of hope coming for the remainder of the season. There's nobody that you're going to get back from the IL, or there's no real prospect that's going to inject a major source of life into the club, because Charlie Condon's hurt right now and he's too far from the majors. Dolander's already injecting that life into the team. And so that's great. That's a positive thing, but it's certainly not enough, right? The Rockies are 1-1 in his starts. And you know, what are they going to do the other four games in that rotation when he's not starting? And what if the bats don't come alive and support him like they did against the A's in his first start, in his major league debut at Coors Field? And Zach Veen is, look, he's struggling the way a lot of rookies struggle the first time they come up and learn that, yeah, there's a lot more that I need to work on. That the guys in the big leagues are a lot better than the ones that are in AAA. So Jordan Beck may come back and inject some life. But in terms of superstars, you know, Dolander and Condon are really the only two that I think have that superstar potential. And that's something that the Rockies desperately need. Brent Doyle is still hurt with his quad issue, still not put on the IL. I imagine there might be some announcement on Tuesday. Either he's in the lineup or he's going to end up having to go on the IL. Also, I don't know that there's anybody to even bring up right now from the minors. I mean, you could have Jordan Beck come up for 10 days, but I think they would rather him stay down in the minors. I mean, you could have Yankiel Fernandez come up and maybe make his debut or ride the bench like Nolan Jones did for his first 3 days in the majors. The depth that they have is young depth. It's not exactly the best kind of depth for this season. It's good depth for future seasons, but just not that right depth for right now. So Doyle is that superstar you're waiting to break out. Tovar, you're waiting for him to break out. Now Tovar, he's been hitting the ball really well, but the results just have not been supportive of him. I know entering Monday night's game, his slugging percentage was only .345, but he had an expected slugging percentage of .457. So, you know, that's one of the top negative differentials in the game. So he's just had some bad luck, right? It's been a smaller sample size because we're only about, you know, 3 weeks into the season. But still, he has a chance to break out. And that's what the Rockies need, is a superstar. And they're not going to get that superstar from Chris Bryant. Bottom line, they were thinking Chris Bryant was going to be the guy that could provide some heavy lifting and could provide some leadership skills and abilities. And unfortunately, that really wasn't his game. It wasn't his game in Chicago, and it's not his game in Colorado to be that kind of a leader. And, you know, perhaps if things were different and he was healthier and he didn't need to make his, you know, 9 trips to the IL, that maybe it would be more of leading by example. But that's what Nolan Arenado was doing. He was leading by example. And he looked around and he saw that.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You know, the front office was not supporting the team in the way that they promised him when they signed him to that long-term extension. And he spoke up about it. And, you know, frankly, GM Jeff Breidich said, well, no, look, we're paying you to be a leader. And, you know, Nolan wasn't that kind of leader. What they wanted from him was something that he was not. And that is where a lot of that friction came from. And yet they immediately then turned around 1 year later and gave that money to Chris Bryant, who was never a leader in that way. And so I don't know what they were really expecting out of him other than being a big marquee name, but you don't see him anywhere around Coors Field. He's not on, you know, the banner that's hanging up on Blake Street, welcoming back opening day. You know, it's Doyle, Tovar, McMahon, and Freeland. You've got the City Connects that just came out. No Chris Bryant for that. Well, what about back in 2022 when they first launched them? No Chris Bryant there either. You had Connor Joe in the mix with Herman Marquez and McMahon. And I think it might have been Freeland. He was the fourth. But you didn't even have Chris Bryant showing up for that, which was rather strange. Now, you know, to be fair, I'll have to ask around for that because those photographs may have been taken before he was signed. So they launched in 2022, now that I think about it. And the photographs, much like with these new City Connects, they were taken at Rockies Fest. So they probably went up and I take that back because we had a lockout. So, you know, when would they have done that? They would have done that during the regular season. So I guess I'm back on it. Yeah, Bryant would have been around. I think he was, but was not a part of that. So you immediately signed this guy to be, you know, the name up on the marquee and the face of your franchise. And then he wasn't the face of your franchise almost immediately. I don't know what's going to happen with Chris Bryant going forward. He can't just unilaterally retire and give back money. The Players Association wouldn't allow something like that. You can't allow players to just retire. Like that's a bad look, and that's bad for everybody else in the Players Association. And so, you know, the Rockies are in a bad spot. Chris Bryant's in a bad spot. But if this injury and or rather this disease, lumbar degenerative disc disease, is serious enough, then, you know, if the right people sign off on it, or if enough people can sign off on it, then he'll be deemed, you know, unable to play. And he'll be forced into retirement, similar to what we saw with Steven Strasburg and Prince Fielder. You know, that it's very rare that players on, you know, deals of that kind of magnitude of $100-200 million can't fulfill that contract. And that's what it's about, is fulfilling that contract. So, you know, Chris Bryant had this lumbar disc degenerative disease going back to last year, maybe even before that diagnosis. I don't know exactly when. But he had it going into this season, going into the offseason. And yet, got to make the best of it. You got to show up. You're getting paid to do this, so go out there and do it. So he did. And the Rockies have to keep rostering him and keep running him out there. You don't have to put him batting cleanup when you know full well he just can't generate that kind of power. But maybe with his name alone, it's going to maybe give opposing pitchers some pause. I don't really believe in that. But, you know, if you knew this guy really wasn't going to be able to go and his swing is not in the right place, which we've heard a couple times from the coaching staff, you know, batting him in the middle of that lineup again is disingenuous. I think that's the best word to describe the Rockies over the last 5 years. And so we'll see what the next step is, the next stage for Chris Bryant, if he plans on speaking to the media about this, if retirement is going to be in the cards. Maybe he's not going to say anything for a while because, again, there's certain checks and balances that are going to be in place to figure out how we can get to a spot where he can retire. And, you know, the money seemingly comes off the books for the Rockies somewhat. Chris Bryant still gets paid. You free up a roster spot, not only on just the 40-man roster, but on the 26-man active roster. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. It's going to be interesting to see what the Rockies end up doing with Braxton Fulford. You know, how much time he starts behind the plate. And if, again, I don't want to say they go back on their word, but if they start to use Hunter Goodman in a different capacity, I think they might just use him more as a DH. Most teams in baseball, they don't really have a true DH. They might have a guy that spends more time at DH than any other, but at the same time, they're rotating in and out based on the handedness of the pitcher. And I think that's probably how they're going to figure out and mix and match. Now that your DH is freed up, there's no Charlie Blackmon there. He's retired. Now there's no Chris Bryant there. Now you can pretty much have whoever you need, whoever you want there. Maybe Brenton Doyle is going to be the DH on Tuesday night. We'll see. If he's not, again, that's a bad sign for those quads. And you know, who else is down in AAA? I got to look at the 40-man roster right now for the Rockies because I just have to wonder if, you know, I understand what day-to-day means, but, you know, Doyle hasn't played in about five games. You know, Tyler Freeman's on the IL. You don't have anybody yet. It's Yankiel Fernandez and Jordan Beck. That's it. Even in your infield, you've got no one else. So they're absolutely depleted on the position player side of things. So I can see them, you know, trying to make a move somewhere to bolster their depth, which again was something that they bragged about a lot the last couple of years, and it's still not where you would like for it to be. So I don't know what that other move is going to be, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but they've got to figure something else out and improve their depth from the position player side of things, especially if you want to continue to get consistent at-bats for Yankiel Fernandez, which very understandable, and consistent at-bats for Jordan Beck. Like that has to happen, so be it. But you do need some more bodies on the position player side of things. Owen Miller's not doing terribly well down in AAA. He was a non-roster guy that you could find room for him. You know, there's probably somebody, there's probably a pitcher right now that's injured that you can put on the IL, the 60-day IL, or even just sneak through waivers. But Owen Miller batting 130, which in the PCL, you know, not terribly good. Aaron Shunk's still down there, 216 with a 626 OPS. You know, not great. Sterling Thompson, another one of the big prospects that have been pumped up. He's not off to a very good start. I honestly, I'm looking at this AAA roster, and there's, you know, I don't think there's anybody knocking at the door that you'd want to give that opportunity to. And you have to be careful with who you give that opportunity to, because Ryan Ritter has been really good. You know, more strikeouts than you'd like, but 3 homers, 7 RBI in 12 games. 882 OPS. He's probably have to be the best of the guys down in AAA. But right now, you just need a Band-Aid to put on this roster. And a veteran guy like an Owen Miller would provide that Band-Aid. And then you know what? When you're done and you decide either you need stitches or it's healed, you can rip that Band-Aid off and it's not going to hurt. So if you have to designate Owen Miller for assignment, that's not a big deal. Whereas with Ryan Ritter, you put him on the 40-man roster, you activate him, he's on your 26-man roster, he's on your bench, maybe he's starting some games over at second base, your 40-man roster is full. When it's time to send him down, you got to keep him on the 40-man roster. So there is a crunch with that. And maybe Ritter comes up and replaces Amador, but even then still, you still haven't answered for Brenton Doyle being out and just not having depth on the position player side of things. It's just not a pretty time. It's not a pretty sight right now for the Colorado Rockies, but you can check out all my pretty content on social media. How about that for a segue? at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. I appreciate all you pretty people out there for joining me. And, you know, hang in there. It can't get worse, I think. I mean, we said that after the first 100 loss season, and then there was another 100 loss season. So did it actually get worse, or did it just stay that bad? Yeah. Okay. I guess it just stayed that bad. So yeah, it can't get any worse. There you go. Feel better. Feel better about that. I appreciate you dropping by and providing me a little bit of momentum. But as I like to say, momentum is only as good as your next show. So of course, I'll talk to you then.